Our text for this morning is a verse from the gospel reading read to you just a moment ago from the third chapter of John. It is probably the most well-known verse in all of Scripture. Certainly, if it is second, it's only to the 23rd Psalm, and that is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus had a habit throughout his ministry of redefining very, very well-known terms and concepts, well-known to his people and, as a result, well-known to us in our day and age. For instance, Jesus spoke about friends on one occasion. And we all know what a friend is. We all have a definition of a friend in our mind whenever we hear the word. It's someone we like. It's someone we get along with. It's someone we may very well like going out with, having a good time with, etc., etc. A pal, a buddy. But listen to Jesus' words. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Did you hear the redefinition? Jesus' redefinition of a friend is very simply someone we are willing and will die for. Now take that definition and apply it to our list of friends that came to our mind when we heard the word friend. And I got a sneaking hunch our list begins to narrow quite a bit. Because a lot of the people we like, get along with, etc., if we're honest, we ain't willing to die for. We aren't willing to take the hit for them. Not the ultimate hit anyway. And Jesus had a habit of doing that, not only with names of people, let's say, like a friend, but he had a way of doing it with events, ceremonies, and the like. We have an instance, I believe, of that in John chapter 3, 16. Because here, Jesus talks about God loving. He uses that term love. He also used it, remember, in the text that I quoted just a moment ago about the friend. Greater love has no man than this. And in each of them, they're pretty much the same thing, really. Jesus talks about love here, God loving the world. Well, what do you mean by love, Jesus? We can say, I love my friends. But if we apply Jesus' redefinition of it, well, you know, maybe that changes things a little bit. We use this term love so very freely in our day and age. Sit down and watch a TV show. We watch this, my wife and I watch this, the Masked Singer, the Masked Dancer, you know, this talent show, kind of like a talent show, with celebrities, of course, trying to guess who is behind the mask. And inevitably, at any given show, you will hear one of the judges or more than one of the judges after a performance saying, we love you. And inevitably, my wife will turn to me or I will turn to her and say, how can they love them? They don't even know who it is. We use the term so freely because, well, it's the proper thing to do. And you know, it sounds good to say you love somebody. We need to listen. We need to take these words of Jesus, slow them down a little bit, and listen to them. For God so loved the world. Is Jesus going to give us a different definition of the word love? And we listen further. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. For Jesus, love equals giving. Not just saying, but giving. Now that throws a whole different light on it, doesn't it? About the people we love. We ask, who am I willing to give for? Well, again, the list becomes somewhat narrow. But for Jesus, this is the definition. It doesn't mean being pals with somebody. The Greeks had a word for that. It doesn't mean being sexually intimate with someone. The Greeks had a word for that. No, for Jesus, to love someone, truly love them, means to give to them. Give what? Well, again, in slowing the text down, we listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his best because he loved. He didn't give leftovers. He didn't give what he could afford to give. He gave his best. His Son. And that same principle now carries over to us. What is it that we give in showing our love? Very simply, our best. The best of ourselves. The best of our time, the best of our talents, the best of our material possessions, you name it. We are not called upon to give the leftovers and only what we can afford or what we feel like doing. Love, according to Jesus, gives one's best. It's quite a definition. That's quite a redefinition. God isn't calling upon us to be friends with everybody, to be pals with everybody, to have a good time with everybody. He isn't calling us to a life of indulgence and orgies and whatnot like it was in the 60s. He is calling upon us to love others by giving to them our absolute best. The best we got. Nothing held back. It's quite a redefinition. And what is the result of all of this? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The result is salvation. Salvation between God and man, and salvation between people. It is my belief that many husbands and wives in our day and age need to listen to John 3:16. Because there are far, far, far too many people who enter into a marriage with one thought in mind. And that is what they're going to get out of it. What they're going to get from the other person. We hear it so much in our day and age, don't we? I got to start living for myself. And that's why marriages crumble. Because far too few people love by giving. They think love is getting. Jesus says the opposite. Jesus had a habit of redefining things. A lot of it we don't want to hear. A lot of it we're not comfortable with. But we need to hear it all the same. Jesus, what do you mean by loving someone? As you told us too in the upper room at the Last Supper, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus' reply very simply will be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.